It's good to be here today, Southgate, and just wanted to say thank you for calling me to be your pastor. It's a privilege to be here on this very first Sunday. I want to say thank you to my wife, my kids, for making this transition with us. We felt like this was a call that God called our entire family to, and so we're all in, and we're excited to be here. It's good to have our family here. We'll have some in this hour and some in the next, but it's especially good to have my father-in-law here. It was almost 18 years ago that we were in Branson, and I had asked him, I said, hey, would you ever consider hiring someone to do your singles ministry and allowing them to go to seminary? And he offered to hire me full-time, and his response to me was, well, I think I can help you out, you know? And so over the course of several years, he mentored me and has been a mentor even since then, so it's good to have he and his wife here today. I want to thank you for joining us in person. Thank you for joining us online. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been back to services yet here at Southgate, for those online, please come back. We are doing everything that we can to keep people safe. The staff has gone to great lengths to make sure that we are being COVID regulated. And I'll just say this, I believe that God has called his church to meet. And if you're not at risk and you feel safe in doing that, there's just something about being with God's people, amen? And I think there's just something about hearing the music and being under the sound and the preaching of the Word of God. And I just believe the more that you miss church, the more you're going to miss church. And certainly it's easier to sit at home, and I mentioned in the email this week, listen, I like sitting at home in my jammies eating waffles and watching church too. I do. But God has called his people to come together and to gather. And we want to do that more than anything, even if you don't get anything out of the message. Sometimes it's good to see your friends and to get a word of encouragement from those who you need to hear from. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. This morning, we're in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And we're going to look at several verses in chapter 13, chapter 14. And in this new season as a church here at Southgate, I want to take some time to look at what God did with his people in the Old Testament when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Because I believe that God has always had a plan for his people. He's often led them on a journey that would require faith. I mean, God is always about getting his people to a place of faith. He's always about getting his people to a place where they have to depend on him. He's always about getting his people to a place where they have to trust him, where their faith would be stretched. And he was always about leading them into a mission that would require surrender, that would require obedience. And I want to tell you this morning that moving forward in obedience, moving forward in faith, in obedience to God and his call will always require of his people faith. And so God is calling us, Southgate, this morning to faith. In fact, moving forward in faith requires an unwavering commitment of trust in God. Moving forward in faith requires an unwavering commitment, really, not just to trust God, but to obey God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says it this way, because Scripture is very clear that God rewards the faith of his people. And he says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, who wants to be on the other side of the blessing of God? Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be on the side where God is blessing me, that God is moving me forward, and that God is using my life. And I certainly want to be a part of a church and a movement where God is doing just that. And if that's going to happen, we have to be a people that believes God for the impossible. Now, we're in a season of ministry, certainly, that seems a little daunting, right? Amen? I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty in our world today. We're navigating COVID, and guess what? We're breaking in a new pastor. Amen? We're breaking in the new guy. That can seem a little bit uneasy. But right now, in this moment, it's time to walk by faith and not by sight. This morning, it will take every one of us unified in faith to succeed. Now, fear seems rational, but it will cause us to miss out on some of God's very best miracles. I don't know about you, but I love seeing God at work. Amen? I love seeing when God does the unexpected. And I love it when, as a church, that we sit back and we receive God's blessings and people ask us, man, how are you accomplishing that at Southgate? And when we say, we don't know, it's the Lord. That's when we know that we're moving in the right direction. I want to tell you, this is an opportunity to obey God. It's an opportunity to provide a brighter future for someone without hope. We're not here just to attend church. We've been commissioned by God to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to see your faith grow. When was the last time that you can honestly say, man, my faith was stretched? I had a season where I needed to depend on God. I walked with God by faith and not by sight. And there was this certainty that you knew that God was at work in your life. When was the last time that you could attest to that? It's an opportunity to see our faith grow and impact the lives of others who are lost. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready to move forward? I'm going to ask again, and I'd like for you to say amen, because when you say amen, I preach quicker and you get to lunch faster. Amen? Now, are you ready to move forward in faith? Amen, let's do this. Because if we're ever going to see the kind of harvest that transforms a community and reaches the world, we have to move forward in faith with an unwavering commitment to God. The Bible records the story of his people allowing their fear and not faith to determine their next steps forward. And I'm going to tell you, you'll always come out on the short end when you allow fear to dictate where you go next. Amen? You will always come out on the short end when you allow fear and not faith to dictate what your next steps are. And it altered their journey forever. And I share this to caution us as a church and for us to really consider the implications for us individually. Because here's one of the thoughts that I want you to consider this morning. The Bible teaches us that fear will hijack our faith and ruin our future almost every time. Fear will hijack our faith and will ruin our future. But here's the big idea today, and this is what I want us to focus in on the time that we have left this morning, and that is this. This is the big idea. Don't forfeit your future by not putting your faith in God. Don't forfeit your future by not putting your faith in God. And Numbers 13 and chapter 14 record the story of some folks, some people that ultimately were called to trust in God, people that were ultimately to be his light among the nations, and yet they allowed fear to dictate their next steps. And we see in chapter 13, and I want you to read with me verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send out men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one, a chief among them. So Moses, listen to this word, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, and all of them who were the heads of the people of Israel. Now, the first thing that I want us to notice this morning is that God has given his people in this text, and he's given to us today, a unified calling. In our text, we see that God called 12 men to go out and give a report. He told them to have courage. Look in verse number 20 with me, if you will. He says, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. He told them, like, have courage, and I'm going to send you out. Now listen, this isn't anything new for the people of God. This is what God does. He calls us up, and listen, he sends us out. Amen? He calls us up, and he sends us out. He did it with Abraham. God called Abraham to go to a country that he had never seen, and he asked God, hey, where am I going? He goes, I will tell you when you get there. He did it with Moses. He did it with David when he called David to be the king of Israel. He did it with Peter. I mean, Peter was a train wreck. I mean, we wouldn't even consider Peter to be the pastor of Southgate. I mean, 30 days before he launched the church, he's standing by a fire denying Christ and cursing out a little girl, and yet God called him up and sent him out and launched what we know today is the church. He did it with his disciples. God is always getting his people to a place of faith to send them out to make his name known among the nations. Listen, as a church this morning, we're called to introduce. This is simply it. We're called to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what God has called us to do. And as a church, we want to major on the majors and minor on the minors. We don't want to just maintain, amen? We want to live on mission. We want to do what God has called us to do in making disciples of Jesus Christ. And as a church, we will be focused and we will cooperate and we will get along as long as we recognize this unified calling. When we major on what is major, when we minor on what is minor, and we focus on the mission of God, everything else then becomes non-essential. We're called to go into all the world. We're called to preach the gospel to every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Not about you, but that kind of gets me fired up. This is the calling of God on our lives, individually and as a church. We've been sent. Jesus said it this way, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me." Guess what? Even so, I'm sending you. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he said, go, and this is the mission of Southgate, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. When you're doing exactly what God has called you to do, no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how scary it might feel, listen, when you're in the center of God's will, you're the safest place that you could possibly be. I like what J.D. Greer says. He says, without the mission, a church isn't a church. It's just a group of disobedient Christians hanging out. Now listen, Jesus' vision for the church was not for us just to hang out once a week. In fact, the moment that you were saved, you were simultaneously called into the mission of God. And we're called to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Listen, our success here at Southgate, our success is not in getting bigger and building bigger buildings. Our success is in building the lives of people. That's the success that we're looking for. Ed Stetzer said it this way, the church is one of the few organizations in the world that doesn't exist, listen to this, for the benefit of its members. We don't exist so that your life can be easier. We don't exist so that you can come here and have a good time and make friends. We are a people on a mission to tell others about Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that by faith. The only measure for success in this endeavor is our faithfulness and obedience to our calling. And so what we see first and foremost in our text today is a unified calling. But secondly, what we see is an unbelieving congregation. In verse number 25, the Bible says that the spies came back and they decided to give a report of what they had seen and what they had experienced in the promised land. The place where God was taking them, the place to where they were sent. The Bible says, and at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation. They showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to the land to which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb, I love that, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. Now, when the men returned, they gave a report of what they saw. 10 out of the 12 men believed that the task was too great. And listen, they believed the task was too great and that God was too small. Boy, I certainly wouldn't have been a part of those 10. They exaggerated. The Bible says that they saw the people of Anak there. Now, I certainly think that when they saw the people of Anak, you know how it is with your kids? Sometimes they come back and they tell you the story and they have a tendency sometimes to embellish what they experienced or what they saw. How many of you are a parent today? Amen? Our kids do that from time to time. And I imagine that's exactly what the children, yeah, there were some children of Anak there, and yeah, they were probably some pretty tall giants there, but that wasn't the all of what they had seen. And do we not do the very same thing where we often exaggerate and magnify our difficulties and we minimize God? We minimize His power. We minimize His past victories in our lives. And this is exactly what's going on with the children of Israel. The spies were more concerned about failure and not faith in God. They allowed fear, the fear of their enemies, if you will, to destroy their faith to move forward. They allowed what they presently saw right in front of their face to destroy what God wanted to do in their life going forward. So instead of trusting and obeying, and we often remember that old hymn, trust and obey, for there is what? There's no other way. Well, trust and obey, for there's no other way. And instead of trusting God, the spies turned the hearts of the people to a place of unbelief and fear. They chose not to believe the promise and the power of God who called them and who delivered them from the very bondage of Egypt. And it reminds me of us as Christians, because God is good enough to save us from our sins, but He's not good enough and big enough and powerful enough to save us from the everyday life stuff that we experience moment by moment, day by day, and year by year. So instead of trusting and obeying God, they allowed fear to win the day. Now what's fascinating, what's sincerely fascinating about this passage of Scripture to me is the miracles that they had already experienced up to this point. I mean, God had proven Himself faithful, amen? God had a pretty good track record with the children of Israel up to this point. And instead of a rock-solid faith in God, they wavered in their belief. And so we all have a tendency to look at our present situation rather than God's past faithfulness. We trust God. The calling is that we trust God no matter how difficult the circumstances that we're in at the moment may seem or appear. We must, church, listen to me, we must move forward in faith regardless of the fears that want to hold us back. Because God is faithful to guide us and give us grace every step of the way. That song that we sang this morning and that passage that we read today is a prayer that I pray nearly every day. I mean, there's hardly a day that goes by that I don't thank God for His mercy. I don't thank God for His mercies that are new each and every day and His faithfulness in my life. Regardless of how unfaithful that I've been to Him, God is always present and powerful in every moment that we experience, in every obstacle, in every setback, and in every frustration that we face. We can trust that God designed each one to point us to Him who leads us every single step of the way. So we see an unbelieving congregation, but then we see an unwavering conviction. In chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, the Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. And they said to all the congregation, the people of Israel, 'The land which we passed through to spy out, it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey.'" The Bible says that the Lord, in verse number 9, He says, "Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. And listen, and the Lord is with us." The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Instead of cowering at the tent, there were two men, Joshua and Caleb. And they stood up in the midst of an unbelieving congregation, standing on the promises of God and the past faithfulness of God. And with unwavering conviction, they literally pleaded with the people of God, tearing their clothes, beckoning them back to a belief in God. I want to tell you this morning, and this is true now as much as it was in that day, I believe that God can use one man and He can use one woman who has an unwavering commitment to follow God where He guides and where He commands. Let me ask you this morning, could you be that person? Could you be that one man, that one woman who has this unwavering conviction with God? We can move forward in faith this morning, and we can do so greater than Caleb or Joshua because we have Christ, amen, and the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. We have this, and it guarantees our success, and we're called to trust God when it seems like we may be devoured, or when we may not succeed. Success in the kingdom is obedience and trust in Him. I love what Jenny Allen says in her book, Nothing to Prove. She says, nothing is more dangerous, more compelling, more freeing, more radical, more satisfying, more powerful than a person holding a smidgen of faith. A sincere faith in Jesus and all that he wants to do around us wakes us up, rattles our lives, and shifts every perspective, issues hope and pain, and ignites purpose. I keep a little jar of mustard seeds on my desk in the office. A preacher friend of mine by the name of Tom Wagner came and he spoke on having a mustard seed faith. And if you've never seen how small a mustard seed is, it's pretty small. And the Bible tells us that if we'll have the faith of a mustard seed, we will move what? We'll move mountains. And so we see these men with an unwavering commitment to God. And it's confidence in God that is a conviction that he will keep his promise. Confidence in God is a conviction that God will keep his promises. And so I ask you this morning, is it your conviction that God will keep his promises as you follow? I mean, do you really believe that this morning? Are you resting everything on that in this moment? And this morning, you might be in a place of uncertainty. You might be in a place that's causing fear, depression, discouragement, setback. I don't know. But I know this, that we serve a God in heaven who hasn't forgotten your name. He knows your address. He knows every hair on your head or every lack of hair on your head. He knows you. And if you'll follow him and you let him guide you, and you hitch your wagon to his plan, God will always be faithful. But we see in this passage as well the unfortunate consequences. In verses 22 through 24 of chapter 14, and then verses 32 through 33, the Bible says in verse 22, none of the men who've seen my sign or seen my glory, my signs that I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice, none of them shall see the land that I swore to give their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. Here were a people who chose. Listen, here are a people. Please let this set in this morning. Here are a people who chose fear over faith. They had personally just experienced. Listen, I don't know if we always read the Bible with eyes like this, but here were some people that had experienced some of the most incredible, most miraculous signs and experiences in the entire Word of God. Some of the most greatest, most magnificent miracles were experienced by the children of Israel in the pages that we're reading today. I mean, when you think about it, in order to get them out of Egypt, there were 10 plagues. The last plague being that which saved them as they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost and the firstborn male of every child in Egypt was taken that night. Then they get to the Red Sea as the Egyptians were in pursuit of them. And as soon as Moses put his staff in the water and they put their foot right there on the bank of that sea, guess what happened? The waters parted. Are you guys with me? The waters parted and they walked on dry land. Now, I don't know about you, but could you imagine walking through the Red Sea that day? I mean, I think about that kind of stuff. But how cool would it have been to just been walking by through the Red Sea and a fish just trying to get out of the water, out of the wave there? I mean, I'd have probably grabbed one and saved it for later, you know? But I mean, to think about that is absolutely fascinating. And then they start complaining to God. Oh, we're hungry. Bam, here's some manna. Well, we don't like manna. Bam, there's some quail. Well, man, we're really thirsty. Whew, water from a rock. I mean, everything they needed at every stop and at every step, God provided, and he didn't just provide, he did it miraculously. And then he guided them in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. His presence was manifest right before them in every single moment. Some of the greatest miracles. So instead of just obeying God, they chose to be obstinate and rebel against his word. He is long-suffering with his people, but when we continually disobey, he will discipline those he loves. And it's so unfortunate that they missed the promised land. Their consequence was another 38 years of wandering around in the woods. Can you imagine? How many of you like just being lost? I mean, no one likes to just wander around with no aim, no purpose, no goal, no destination. So for 38 years, they would wander around in the wilderness while they died off. Listen to this. so the next generation could go in and experience the power and the promise of God to bless his people. Now, that ought to set with us this morning. Because could you imagine being the kids and the grandkids basically just sitting around waiting for your parents and your grandparents to die so you can get on with it? I mean, you with me? Could you just imagine? Well, there goes another one. We're another day closer. I mean, so honestly, that's what was happening for 38 years as they wandered around the wilderness. They waited for their parents and their grandparents to die because they didn't have enough faith to follow God and do what God had called them to do. And so God says, fine, I'm going to bless your kids instead of you. I want to tell you, rebellion against God will always lead to regret. They missed out on being a part of something special because of unbelief. And so my challenge and the challenge from our staff this morning is to not let fear destroy your faith for God's calling on your life and his calling on this church. We need everyone moving forward in faith together with a unified calling. All of us walking by faith, not by sight. We can't have people around here saying, well, that's the staff's job or that's the pastor's job. All in, every one of us unified, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So like I said at the beginning, don't forfeit your future by not putting your faith in God. I want to tell you, God is calling you to move. He's calling you to move in the direction that he has led us in. And that's what I want to end with a few minutes that I have left this morning, and that is this. Is the unlimited capabilities that God might have in store for you, that God might have in store for your family, that God might have in store for this church. You see, over the next several weeks, we're going to study what God is capable of doing when his people follow him by faith and they go on the journey that he has for them. Because I'm just convinced that God has, and this is a good place for an amen, I believe that God has unlimited power. I mean, I believe that God can save to the uttermost. I believe that we can call unto him and he will answer us and show us great and mighty things that we do not know. I believe that he is exceedingly powerful and that he can do more than we can ask or imagine. You want to be a part of that? If you do, you got to move forward in faith. See, we want to encourage you to consider where you fall into all of this. You, not your spouse or your kids or the pastor or the staff. And I'm thankful that God has called us here. I'm excited. I mean, I'm beyond excited about being a part of what God is doing here at Southgate. But we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We have to be in this thing together. And so my prayer is that some of you might be a little indifferent. Others might be too busy. Others are just going to be flat out disobedient. And our prayer is that God would touch your heart. Listen, that God would touch your heart with purpose. That God might give you eyes to see how he might use your life and the gifts to help Southgate become the church. And this the church that literally transforms a community and reaches the world with the gospel. Now, I know there's hundreds and hundreds of churches here in Springfield, but I also know there's still lost people here. Amen? There's still people far from God, and we ought to be willing to do anything short of sin to make sure that people hear the message of the gospel. And beyond that, I know that there's 6,580 unreached people groups in the world that still yet have heard the name of Jesus. And if we're going to make a dent and impact lostness and push back darkness and advance the kingdom, it's going to be everyone all in, moving forward in faith in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. My dream has always been to be a part of a church that's not driven by programs, but a church that's led out by called people who know who they are and what God has called them to, and using their spiritual gifts to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples of Jesus Christ. I don't think there's anything that really excites me more than seeing you using your gifts to impact the lives of others. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm super impressed with this church. I've been here all of 3 days this week. I started Wednesday. But I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the search team. I'm amazed at the staff. I'm amazed at all the teams and the committees and all the folks that are moving the ministry forward. I think there's already this sense that, hey, we're in this together. We're going to do something great for God. And we need a vision big enough that's worthy of God's name. Amen? We need something that's worthy of God's name. And so I just want to ask you this morning, are you surrendered to His will? Would you move forward with an unwavering commitment to obey God? Listen, would you move forward in commitment to God even if it was a little uncomfortable? Would you do that even if it caused you a little bit of fear, a little bit of loss, a little bit of sacrifice? Would you do that? What would you be willing to give up if you knew that every seat in this auditorium would be filled a year from now with people that weren't in church, any church, previous to that? I don't know about you, but I could get fired up about that. I don't know, but I do know this, and this is the message today. Don't let fear be the cause of forfeiting your future with God. I love what Bob Goff says. Don't let what you're afraid of keep you from what you're made for. God has made you, and God has made me for something significant. God created us to live for more than ball games. He created us to live more than just a good meal. He created us more than for education, success, and the corporate ladder. There is something that God, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, that God has written eternity on our hearts, and God has created you and me to live for something that transcends anything that this world offers, and we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for it and live by faith in it. And so I want to ask you this morning to bow your heads and close your eyes. My time is done today, and Derek and the worship team is going to come. But I want to ask you just this morning, I don't know everyone here yet, but I do want to ask you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know that you're right with God? Do you know that you've been forgiven of your sins? And do you know that heaven is your home? Could you lift your hand and give testimony of that today? Just lift that up today. I want to make sure that everyone here today knows personally Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, is there anyone that's here today, every head's bowed and every eye's closed, anyone here today that say, I don't know with certainty that heaven is my home. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that I've been forgiven of my sins. Would you pray for me? Because I think I'd like to know a little bit about that. Would you lift your hand and let me see that today? Anyone here like that this morning? Now, how many of you'd say to me, Pastor, I'm willing to be uncomfortable. I'm willing to go all in. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to have faith in God. I'm ready to move. I want to get up and get out and do what God has called me to do. Would you lift your hand and let me pray with you this morning? Can we do that today? Just lift your hands. Lift them up and let me pray with you this morning. I want to get up. I want to get out. I want to move forward in faith. I don't want to be comfortable. Father in heaven, you see the hands of these dear folks today. And God, it's a privilege to be here, to stand behind this pulpit. And certainly, I don't want them to follow me. I want them to follow Christ. And this morning, I know that the Word of God is true. It was true 2,000 years ago. And Lord, it's true today that you have called us, you've redeemed us, you've rescued us. And God, you have given us a plan. And that plan is to reach the world with the gospel. And I pray that we wouldn't let our fears or our desire to be comfortable or our desire to be in step with the world to hinder us from doing all that you've called us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.